Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. Luckily, I didn't start a stupid left-handed store.
A stupid left-handed store? Stupid?
Yeah, Flanders Stupid Left-Hand Store. Isn't that what it's called?
I don't think so, Homer.
Oh, man. Well, never mind.
Before we get started...
I swear...
Jesus Christ. Before we get started, well, are we going to dissect Flanders' business plan? There's plenty of room
for that.
I would
love to see it.
Yeah.
I would love to see his projections because they don't seem right.
Yes. You know the drill, guys. If you like us, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps us out. It really does. I'd really appreciate it. I ate ice cream tonight. It didn't help anything. So please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes. When ice cream doesn't help, I don't know what to do anymore.
Pizza. Pizza always helps.
I've eaten a lot of pizza lately. It's probably not a good idea to eat more.
Okay, then burgers, pie, cookies. These are all good things.
I don't think I can solve any more of my problems with food.
How about sleep, then?
That's probably a good idea. When Flanders Failed is our episode this week, episode 7F23, originally aired October 3rd, 1991, written by John Vitti, directed by Jim Reardon. Original broadcast finished 29th in the ratings, a Nielsen rating 13.9, approximately 12.8 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week.
Married with Children.
Reclaims the throne from In Living Color and Married with Children. The chalkboard gag is, nobody likes sunburned slappers. Which, that's true. That's a terrible thing to do to a person.
It's true. It's mean and it's cruel. And that's the kind of thing we should be teaching kids. Don't do that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair lesson. Couch gag, family dances, does a big ta-da at the end. I think it's the same one we saw earlier in season two. But it's fine. You know, it's not bad.
Serviceable.
Yeah. This was produced in the season two production run, hence the 7F23. Code. There were a lot of animation errors. They're apparently training a new animation staff at the time. Therefore, they had the entire summer to clean it up. There is still some of it left. You can definitely see it, especially in that first act. There's definitely some minor animation stuff going on in the background. I don't know if I'd notice it if it hadn't been pointed out, but it is definitely there once you know it's there.
Yeah, I mean, I knew about it. I looked. I didn't really see anything that was crazy bad. But, you know, here and there you see a little something that just seems a little off.
You like lines in the background moving around. That's, I think, the most.
Yeah.
They did manage to clean up most of it. The episode begins with Flanders inviting Homer to a barbecue. How dare he?
I know, right? It's like he's taking all the extra money he earns and just rubbing it into Homer's face by trying to give him free stuff.
I know. What a jerk. Homer is using Flanders' equipment in the beginning of the episode. He's using his landscaping stuff.
His weed whacker.
His weed
whacker.
You can
say it. It's okay.
Weed whacker? I forgot the name of it. That's why I didn't say it. And he's doing an inefficient job. Flanders tries to help him out. Homer doesn't like that. And Homer doesn't like Flanders. And he doesn't want to go to his barbecue. Lisa and Marge are both kind of murmuring about it. They do one of their mother-daughter murmurs. It's pretty good. Homer stays home. They go to the barbecue. The smell, however, does not stay at the barbecue. The smell of the barbecue wafts over.
It's alive.
It does have that kind of Looney Tunes almost sentience where it beckons Homer. And he does have something to say about that.
Barbecue.
No slobbery noises, though. Take mercy on you guys. Don't have to listen to just mouth noises. You hear enough of that from us. But Homer cannot deny himself the barbecue any longer. Goes over, takes a whole plate of burgers. And
which is like a dozen burgers.
It's a lot of burger. That's a lot. And then he takes a six-pack of beer by himself.
Or most of a six-pack, to be fair.
Yes, to be fair, we have to be fair to Homer in this episode. he calls out tag rules to Bart and children, which I don't think we ever see any of those children ever again. But Flanders has taken this occasion. He's throwing this barbecue not only just to, you know, throw a barbecue. He's also announcing that he's opening a store that sells things exclusively for left-handed people. The Leftorium. This is also based on a real store that apparently the writer George Meyer had seen. Went out of business out of a lack of... we have some podcats. From lack of... it didn't do very well.
Well, when you limit your potential clientele to 1/9 of the population, that's going to happen.
To be fair, there's a lot of stores that limit their clientele to a lot smaller percentage than that.
Yeah, but they tend to go after rich people, and I don't think left-hand people tend to be much richer than right-handed people.
Aren't they more successful on average?
They're more creative, but not necessarily successful.
Okay. But we get, finally, a moment between Homer and Flanders where Flanders wants him to, you know, do the wishbone bit, you know, where you pull the wishbone, and whoever has the most at the end gets a wish. Homer is, he thinks of what he wants for, if he wins. First is world peace, then him to be president, and then him to be president and win the Super Bowl. After Homer dismisses all of these, he goes to the evil list of wishes, which involve Flanders going broke, his store closing, and then finally him dying.
That's too far, seriously. The dying, too far. But destitute, that's what we're going for here.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine to have him wish Flanders to fail miserably in his... you know, his endeavor at a business, but instead, not death. Death is a little too far. And this is the first hint of what I would say pushes Homer's character a little too far into the unlikable category. We're supposed to empathize with him to a certain extent. We're supposed to feel like he's the protagonist. He's not supposed to be this villain, is he?
No, he's not supposed to be the villain, but he's supposed to be a representative of things that... he's supposed to be an everyman. So, yeah, he is the protagonist. It's just, in this particular episode, he's just way too much of a jerk.
Yes, so they eventually do pull on the wishbone, and Homer wins.
Yes! Oh, yes! Read it and weep! In your face, I've got more chicken bones!
What'd you wish for, Homer?
No, don't say. Otherwise, it won't come true.
Ooh, that would be a shame.
And if that isn't enough, it goes to commercial with this. It's downright grotesque.
Oh. It's evil. It's evil supervillain Homer. This is him trying to be Hank Scorpio, but failing miserably.
You don't really necessarily... I mean, you hear the choking at the end because his mouth is full of food, and it's just chunks of it flying out of his mouth as he's laughing maniacally at the very thought of Flanders' business venture failing. Oh. I don't know. But it does go to commercial with that.
And when we come back, we actually come right into an Itchy and Scratchy cartoon. Oh, Solo Meow, with Scratchy eating in an Italian restaurant run by Itchy. You'd think he'd learn by now, but I guess not. And so Itchy brings him a plate of spaghetti with a bomb in it. And
you gotta watch out for that.
That's true. And then, of course, when he runs away, his head gets knocked off and his body gets blown up. So, you know.
Matt.
I'm surprised more assassins don't try that.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
Did you get the title? Oh, Solo Meow? Get it?
Meow? Because he's a cat? Anyway, Bart finds this very funny, and we do a camera pan away from his shaking belly while he laughs, which it seems to indicate Bart might be a little bit overweight. And then Marge walks in.
Bart, how many hours a day do you watch TV?
6. 7 if there's something good on.
Don't you think you should get a little fresh air and maybe some exercise?
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Marge, TV gives so much and adds so little. It's a boy's best friend.
It truly is. I mean, where else can you see side boob and girls in bikinis besides TV? Well, internet? At least back in those days anyway.
Internet?
They didn't have the internet back then.
Magazines?
Probably. Whatever. Either way, it's a boy's best friend.
Videotapes?
Maybe for your rich kids who had VCRs back then.
Books?
Okay, enough. Some of us weren't allowed to go to the library for reasons. But at that point, we see a commercial come on, and it appears our good friend Akira from One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish has started has moved on and started a karate studio So I really wanted to, we couldn't capture this, but it's full of visual humor. It's full of people in, you know, random work clothes breaking concrete bricks with their heads, and they're supposed to be landscape architects and homemakers. It's really funny, and it inspires Bart to want to do karate, and Marge agrees, since it'll be exercise for him. And of course, Homer tells Marge, oh, you knock TV and then it helps you out, so you should apologize. Which, just, no, no.
Apologize to the television.
No apologizing to inanimate objects today, Homer, sorry. But we next cut to Bart going to his very first karate lesson, and Homer decides to stop by the Leftorium. He says hello to Flanders, and there's one woman in the store who breaks something, and when Flanders is kind enough to say, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine, you don't have to pay for it or anything, she asks him to validate her parking, because apparently she knows a pushover when she sees it. So he does, because he's Flanders, and he tells Homer, you know, hey, you know, things aren't going great, but they will. And Homer walks away, just kind of laughing a little bit into inside. We then go back to Bart at the karate studio, where they're in their first lesson, and Akira is handing out Sun Tzu's The Art of War, which for $10, a lesson plus a copy of The Art of War, it's a pretty good deal. And, of course, Bart is having none of this. He's paying money to read books. He takes his money and goes to the arcade to play Touch of Death, which is, I'm sure, his kind of karate. It's where there's just one button you press.
It looks like an excellent game.
It does. You have like two or three buttons, and you just press that to touch a death, and the bad guys die.
Any game that has a button that is simply is connected to touch of death, I think that's a winner.
Fair enough. So we then cut to dinner time at the Simpson household, where Homer is just going on and on about how empty the store was and how he's so happy about the bad things that have happened to Homer. Luckily, we have Lisa to chime in.
Dad, do you know what Schadenfreude is?
No, I do not know what Schadenfreude is. Please tell me, because I'm dying to know.
It's a German term for shameful joy, taking pleasure in the suffering of others.
Oh, come on, Lisa. I'm just glad to see him fall flat on his butt. He's usually all happy and comfortable and surrounded by loved ones, and it makes me feel... What's the opposite of that shameful joy thing of yours?
Sour grapes.
Boy, those Germans have a word for everything.
They really do, although I'm not sure sour grapes is German. I could be wrong. I don't know a lot of the German language.
I was impressed by Homer's pronunciation of Schadenfreude.
I know, even I still have problems, and Homer just nails it. So apparently, maybe Simpson is a German name. You never know.
He can't say saxophone, but he can say Schadenfreude.
See, that's how you know. Apparently, German people have a problem with the word squirrel, so if Homer ever says squirrel, we'll know. But anyway, as we heard, Homer is just exulting in Flanders' slow downfall. Because, you know, apparently in this episode, he's just a jerk. And we see Homer, he's stopping by the Leftorium again, and it's still pretty much empty. Flanders is saying, oh, you know, word's beginning to spread. And, of course, the guy immediately walks in and says, hey, I heard you validate parking without purchase. So, yes, Ned, word is beginning to spread, but it's probably not the word you want.
No, Ned's business practices in this are not too super strong.
He's really too nice to be a small business owner.
Yeah, we don't really see it, but I would think you need to have some kind of advertising budget, and I don't think investing in that left-handed shifter roadster, like, just to start off is necessarily a good idea.
Maybe he already had that. Maybe he was just hanging around in the back of his house, and he's like, maybe I should sell this. Sure. But anyway, once Homer leaves the store, once again happy that Flanders is not doing so well, we see him at Moe's, and Moe is attempting to use a right-handed corkscrew despite being a lefty, and is struggling mightily, because apparently he has the hand strength of a child.
Mightily diddly diddly.
So, we're just going to leave that alone, and Homer, of course, he thinks about telling Moe about the Leftorium, but then he's like, nah, I want Flanders to fail and be, you know, super poor.
Yes.
We then get to Homer at the nuclear power plant, where he's at the vending machine trying to get something besides an apple, which is apparently the only thing that they have in their vending machines. And eventually he puts a suggestion in the suggestion box asking for no more apples, and he gets caught doing that, so he's asked to present it to Mr. Burns himself. But anyway, Burns and Smithers make fun of Homer and tell him they'll get him a free apple because they're jerks too. Yeah. And then we see Burns, who, as an evil person, obviously has cats, struggling with a right-handed can opener. Again, hand strength of even less than a child this time. Apparently they can't, you know, their right hands are useless because they're left-handed. And we actually see Flanders in a thought bubble of Homer's, begging Homer to tell Burns about the Leftorium, but Homer thinks about it for a second and says, nah, once again, I want you to be so poor you lose your house and, you know, you're practically destroyed financially. That's what Homer's thinking.
That's the thing, like, it's hard to not say that when they show you his thoughts of Flanders begging for help and him not helping. Like, if they didn't have him thinking that, like, you could say, oh, well, maybe but they show explicitly that he is ignoring Flanders begging for help.
Well, I kind of feel like what they're going for here is that Homer is too stupid to realize how bad it's getting. And we actually see that in the next scene where Homer goes home. Flanders has all his furniture and everything he owns out on the front lawn trying to sell it for practically pennies. He's trying to sell a guy a really expensive camcorder for $20, and the guy doesn't want it. Then Homer comes home and says, hey, Flanders, what's going on? And Flanders plays it off because, you know, he's a proud guy. He said, oh, just trying to make some room, make a few extra dollars. See anything you like. And of course, Homer, being Homer, takes this in the worst way possible. Oh, it's not good enough for you, but it's good enough for me. And storms off until he sees the gas grill that Flanders used at the barbecue. And then the negotiations start.
Oh, I got your eye on the gas grill, huh? She's a butane butte.
I'll give you $20 for it.
20? Homer, I paid $300 for this just last year.
You were swindled, my friend. $20, take it or leave it.
Oh, Homer, be reasonable.
Sorry, no cash for Nettie. Homer, keep on money. Bye-bye, Nettie. Bye-bye.
All right, Homer.
$20?
$20.
No, I don't want it.
What?
I changed my mind. It was a passing fancy. Although, perhaps if you threw in a few lawn chairs, maybe that tool bench, it might rekindle my interest.
Wow. Serious.
Yeah, it's just...
It's at this point you realize there's no way Homer can be dumb enough that he doesn't realize how bad things are for Ned.
And you'd have to be very dumb to not realize when a man is selling all of his belongings. I realize Ned doesn't say anything, but I think anybody would see someone's yard full of everything they own for sale, they would maybe raise a red flag. I don't know. It makes Homer very even more unlikable. This is kind of the point. The straw that broke the camel's back a little bit in this episode, where, you know, he's just callously manipulating Flanders into giving him a brand new grill for almost nothing.
Yeah. The good news is this probably wouldn't happen in the modern day, because even if Flanders opened a brick-and-mortar retailer, he probably would have had some kind of website and advertising, and he probably would have just had a website instead. He would have gotten more customers that way. It's easier to market over the internet, and not to mention he'd have Craigslist, so if he did have to sell all his possessions, he could probably get more money for it. So let's just be happy this is a fluke of a bygone era.
Yes, let's be happy.
But anyway, we then cut to Bart and Homer in their backyard with almost all of the Flanders furniture, including a china hutch and the gas grill, and they're both wearing Flanders clothing. Homer is wearing his barbecue gear, and Bart is wearing his glasses, which we can only hope is an old pair and not the pair he needs to see.
We do see him later with glasses on, so I assume it's a spare.
Yeah, unless he stole them back from Bart, which would make it even funnier. But Lisa and Marge come out, and they are both profoundly disturbed by this, but don't really do anything about it, which is a little weird for them. Normally, they would get involved at this point and try and do something, but for some reason in this episode, they're written, and they're just like, oh, this is terrible. All right, bye.
Yeah, it's like Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment. Like, Lisa is very, you know, upset about Homer's decision to steal Cable, which isn't really hurting much of anybody, and yet she sees him basically like ruining Flanders, taking all of his belongings for almost no money at all, and yet doesn't do anything about it. Just kind of goes, eh.
It seems very out of character.
Yeah, yeah.
But
keep your hands off my china hut, man.
Yeah, the Lisa touches the china hutch, and Bart gets a little testy because probably that's his china hutch now. We don't get to see what kind of china is in it, but I'm sure it has something to do with, God or Jesus or something like that. Maybe they're playing poker on the China. Who knows?
God or Jesus? God or Jesus China?
Uh-huh, totally.
Have you ever seen China, Matt? Fine China?
I have seen Jesus China. Lots of it.
Okay. All right. That's okay. I'll take your word for it.
It's at that point we hear the front doorbell ring and Homer goes to answer it, and there's a shifty looking fella from the Springfield Collection Agency who proceeds to browbeat Homer about the debt that he owes. And of course Homer's used to this. He's like, oh, I got so many bills and they're so hard to pay. And it's not until the debt collector says, does it make you feel good about yourself to owe money, Mr. Flanders, that Homer realizes this guy's not here for me, he's here for Flanders. And he says, oh, Flanders is next door. And he's, wait, Flanders is in debt? And I think this is the point in the episode where Homer finally realizes, hey, this is worse than I thought. It finally cracks that thick skull of Homer's that what he wished for is actually coming true, that the Flanders is in real big trouble. It's actually really interesting because at this point, the debt collector is like, oh, stupid right-handed ledgers, because he's obviously left-handed. And at this point, we see Homer actually about to tell him about the leftorium when the guy breaks in and says, oh, you're Homer Simpson? See you next Thursday.
Which, so, yes, Homer probably does. I would imagine, I'm kind of surprised that Homer hasn't seen that man before, honestly, that they don't know each other.
Yeah, right? It's like, how many collectors do the Springfield Collection Agency have? They must go through them pretty quickly, Homer to not know this one. But anyway, at that point, the next day, when Homer's taking Bart to his karate lesson, he goes by the leftorium and sees Flanders bawling as he closed the leftorium for the last time. And then we cut to commercial.
Yeah, we cut to commercial. That's couldn't be more depressing.
We fade to black, which is what's inside Homer's soul.
We come back. Bullies, Dolph, Jimbo, Kearney are messing with Lisa. They've taken her saxophone, are tossing it back and forth. She retreats to Bart, you know, thinking he, of course, can defend her with his karate skills. She is wrong about that.
It's funny how two wrongs sometimes make a right.
Bart has spent the episode terrorizing her with his touch of death. It does not work on the bullies, who hang him from his underwear from the basketball hoop, which is quite an accomplishment. It is at this point we have Homer deciding to return the grill that he bought from Flanders. It is evening, and he finds that the Flanders are not in their home. They are in their car because their home has been repossessed, which Flanders would have had to have, like, what do you go, like, two mortgages or something like that? And he must have, I don't know how much money he sunk into this store, because it would have had to have been a lot for his house to have been repoed that quickly. But they're living in their car, roasting marshmallows with a cigarette lighter, trying to sing hopeful songs. It's very depressing. Flanders takes Homer aside, and they have a conversation.
Put on a happy face.
Ah, listen to that singing. Those poor fools. Homer, I'm ruined.
I know.
You know, at times like these, I used to turn to the Bible and find solace, but even the good book can't help me now.
Why not?
I sold it to you for 7 cents.
Oh.
You know, ever since that barbecue, nothing's gone right. It's like there's been a curse on me.
It's all my fault.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, you tried to warn me about gambling my family's future on some big enough poke. I didn't listen. Homer, you were a true friend.
Oh, I was just fine. Listen, Flanders, do you still have that store?
For 2 more days. It becomes Libertarian Party headquarters. I hope they have better luck than I did.
Flanders, you open that store tomorrow.
Oh, Homer, there's no point.
I said do it!
So, with that, Homer has decided he is going to pull all the strings possible and get people to go to Flanders' store, to the leftorium. He calls everyone in town. One gentleman doesn't want to talk to Homer until he learns that Ned Flanders is in trouble. And then he decides action is needed because it's Ned Flanders.
That's right.
Barney is laying on a table in his underwear when he answers the phone, of course.
Because
he's a classy guy. This whole ending is really aping It's a Wonderful Life. We had mentioned that in Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. even, I mean, Maude and Ned are dressed like Jimmy Stewart and who's the his wife? I forget who plays his wife. And It's a Wonderful Life. But, and like, they even have, you know, It's a Miracle, Nettie. Like, all, it's very similar to it. They go to the Liftorium and it's full of people and they're all buying up the entire store because apparently the Springfield has a disproportionate amount of people who are left-handed.
Well, it also has people like Barney who are like, oh, I'm not left-handed, but you have this great t-shirt that makes women love me for no reason.
Of course. And Flanders and Homer have a touching moment at the end.
Homer, affordable tract housing made us neighbors, but you made us friends.
To Ned Flanders, the richest left-handed man in town.
Everybody, race guys are gonna clear up.
So I'm not gonna play the entire song.
Thank you.
That song. That song ends the episode. You know, we've seen Burns buy the Roadster for sale, and you know, it looks like Liftorium's back in business, and Flanders is gonna be all right. It's just hard to redeem how much of a jerk Homer is for most of this episode.
Yeah, he really just, like we said, it didn't even dawn on him until the debt collector shows up that, hey, to be frank, he really can't be held responsible for all the bad stuff that happens. That's mostly, you know, opening a left-handed store in a small town. It's not that great a business decision, but buying all Flanders' stuff for super cheap and then getting mad at him about it and making him sell him more stuff for the same price, that's just a really dick move.
Yeah, it's not necessarily, I don't think, it's really that we see Homer's thoughts and they are genuinely awful about wishing someone ill. Like, and I think if they had laid the plan a little bit more of like Flanders doing something, maybe even that he doesn't realize he did, but that somehow wrongs Homer even a little. But we see Homer borrowing Ned's stuff and using his weed whacker in the beginning. We see him upset that Flanders is throwing a barbecue. Not until, you know, like halfway through the third act do we finally see Homer show any kind of sympathy or empathy. And it's just hard. I mean, I think we like Homer genuinely because he doesn't have this kind of subterfuge, this kind of secret feelings inside where he doesn't like these people and he's going to like secretly try and hurt them. But, you know, he has like all his feelings on the surface and, you know, he kind of represents that in all of us. In this, it's just kind of mean. And it's not really, you don't really like him. And on top of it, there's not a lot of jokes. And a lot of them are kind of aimed at Flanders, which I don't know. I think as I've gotten older, it doesn't work for me anymore. I don't know.
I would absolutely agree. I mean, I was just thinking what you said, if Flanders had done something like maybe Homer left Flanders' tools out overnight and Flanders took it back because he thought Homer was done with it, and then Homer gets mad at him. Something simple like that could have made this a whole lot less of a spiteful episode, because Homer just has no excuse for what he does. He's just basically a terrible, poor person.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of it's very joyless, and it hasn't even been that long since I've seen this episode, and I still just kind of came out. I watched it twice this week, and still, it just does not make sense to me the way that Homer acts. One of the Simpsons writers' mothers told him that she hated this episode because Homer was too mean, and I'm inclined to agree with her. He was too mean. We will rank this episode at the end of the show, and we'll see where it goes. I would like to remind you guys, before we continue, that if you have a favorite episode, please send it in to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com with the title My Favorite Episode and why and what it is. And we've got a couple of them coming up. I'm really excited about it. I really like all these explanations. I think that's one of the beauties of the show is that there's so many different episodes that people call their favorites, and yet it all works. There's no really a wrong answer. I really like that. Next up, comments from the news group. Not much, really, except I found this one thing, like, up to a certain point, maybe midway through season two, everything has been really positive. Like, obviously these people are big fans to have seeked out this news group in the proto-internet and, you know, post about it and talk about it. And yet, but we finally have gotten, we're starting to get more and more of these people, like, really put throwing in heavy critiques. We just started the third season, and what we consider two, I mean, especially Stark Raving Dad, a very good episode. And Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington certainly isn't bad. This guy, let's see, one can only conclude from all that overexposure advertising finally got to Mr. Grading's creative faculty. Used to be a show that dared to rub it in the faces of the smug network execs by taking the sitcom structure and shattering it completely. Now we have unexceptional season premiere and the family trip, another tired device thrown in. Has Matt lost it? I don't.
Okay, seriously, I know it makes you feel good to be a dick to somebody over something trivial, but come on. It is the internet, but seriously, just stop.
Although we did just spend like 20 minutes talking about how this episode's critiquing this episode, but I would like to think that we do it out of place of love.
Absolutely. We're not calling him a hacker saying he's lost anything. We're just saying that maybe it would have been better if there was a reason for Homer being such a jerk.
Yes. There's a line there of how much of a Homer can, how much of a jerk Homer can be. Next, we have our listener question of the week. And this week it is best original song and why. Wow. You guys, this is by far the biggest response. It's not even close. I say that a lot, but this really is. You guys continue just continually upping yourselves, upping the effort. I really, really appreciate it. Wish I could read all the answers because there's all of them are really smart and really clever. I really appreciate the response. First, we have Brandon at Funny Film Fan. I have a soft spot for Dr. Zaius. It was a funny parody song that also made me believe they could do a musical like that. At CT Hall at CHTHH. That's how you say that, Matt.
Okay, good to
know. Yeah, there you go. Stonecutter's song, we do. How can you top lyric like, who robs cavefish of their sight? Who rigs every Oscar night? We do. Amanda, Drawn to Insanity. One of mine is Hark to the Tale of Nelson, because who wouldn't want Martin prancing around singing your praises?
Would be amazing.
I would love it. Michael, at Michael Cody. Baby on Board, because besides being mighty nice, it also wrote itself. Cody, at Commander Cody 83. See My Vest or Spring in Springfield immediately come to mind, though I'm probably neglecting hundreds of greats. Yes, there's so many good ones. It's really tough. Friends with Music podcast, are old buddies. They interviewed me long ago, right when this podcast was a mere baby podcast, like after episode like 3 or 4 or something like that. Their answer, the Ramones singing Happy Birthday to Mr. Burns and Rosebud is my all-time favorite. Not only is he a great version of the song, but the lines each dialogue Ramone has is classic. Joey, I just like to say this gig sucks. Johnny, hey up, you're Springfield. CJ, go to hell, you old bastard. And Marky, hey, I think they liked us. Of course, the icing on the cake, Mr. Burns saying, have the Rolling Stones killed. Smithers, sir, those aren't do as I say. Yeah, it's great. Chris, easily, who needs a Quickie Mart from season 5, Homer or Pooh? Who needs a Quickie Mart? Those floors are Sticky Mart. They made Dad Sticky Mart. And of course, a Pooh with the ending. Who needs the Quickie Part? Who needs the Quickie Mart? I do. I can't do it. I do. I'm a little off key, I think, but
good try. I appreciate the effort.
Thank you. Chris specified I actually had to sing it, so I aim to please. Jordan, I want to be different, so just the way we are from the Sherry Bobbins episode. My favorite line of Homer dialogue. Around the house, I never lift a finger. As a father and husband, I'm subpar. I would rather drink a beer than win Father of the Year, but we're happy just the way we are. Oh, that's so good. Oh, I love it. Matt, happy birthday. Lisa brings a tear every time. I'm in no way ashamed to admit. See My Vest, Monorail, and Talk on Softball are great parodies. The whole Planet of the Apes musical needs to get itself on Broadway or the West End ASAP. But my favorite, funniest, and how it sits in one of my favorite all-time episodes is the Stonecutter song. We have Abby. Marge answer song to We Put the Spring in Springfield. Morals and ethics and carnal forbearance. I really wanted to see where that one would go. Unfortunately, the tractor crashes into the burlesque house. And finally, we have Brian. As a theater teacher, I have a soft spot for musical numbers in The Simpsons, See My Vest, Monorail, We Put the Spring in Springfield are close, but I always find myself singing the songs of Stop the Planet of the Apes, I Want to Get Off. Phil Hartman knocks it out of the park, and the lyrics are amazing. I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. Now, Matt, what is your favorite answer? It's a tough one.
It is a tough one because I have two. These are two that I still find myself singing fairly often. I really want to go with the Stonecutter song because it's so great and it's long enough to be an actual song. Like it's a normal song you would hear on the radio. It's about that length. But I have to go with the Planet of the Apes because at least once a week I will find myself singing, I hate every ape I see from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. And wow. It will stay in my head for several hours.
You guys, so I want you to know, okay, Matt, we have gone to karaoke multiple times. I've never heard Matt sing a song. You guys, I want you to know that was special. That is not something you're going to hear all the time.
It's because I love you guys.
There you go. Matt just pulled out, he pulled out something special, and I appreciate that. And now he has no excuse not to sing a song next time we do karaoke. I'm going to call him on it and make sure that his fiance pressures him into it. She does. My answer, Baby on Board. I love all these songs. They're all great. Baby on Board is like, it's an actual song. Like it works out of the context of the show. And that whole episode is predicated on the fact that they're a good group, that they're an excellent musical group. And that song is so catchy and so fun. It really sells it and really makes that episode work.
It's true. The only bad part about that song is the idea that Homer wrote it. I just can't believe that.
Even retarded squirrels find acorns once in a while.
That is true.
Next week's question, coming on the heels of this episode, what is the least defensible Homer action? Or Homer action / decision, however you want to couch it, and why? I'm interested to see what you guys come up with. You always have really creative answers. I'm really interested in this. There's a lot of them over the years, and we're gonna see what it's like. I post this on all our social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and again, you can email us SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Finally, Matt, it is time for the final segment of the show. You know what it is, right?
I have an inkling.
Yeah, okay. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This one, it's tough, Matt. It's very underwhelming. I thought it'd go much higher, but I don't
think. Yeah, it's. I mean, I expected season 3 to be, you know, top 15 for all mine. I was waiting a whole bunch of these get shifted down, but after seeing this one, I don't know. I'm kind of looking right around Barth the General, Barsh Dog gets an F, somewhere around there, just because, you know, it's just. It's depressing as all get out.
Yeah, you look down the list, and yeah, it's. It's joyless. It's the jokes are just not as much, like they don't make up for the rest of the sadness and the meanness. It's just very mean spirited. And yeah. I don't know, like maybe I've always remembered this episode differently. And maybe as a younger person,
You didn't realize what a jerk Homer was being.
It didn't bother me as much, but yeah, it's not better than Treehouse of Horror. I don't think it's better than Barth the General. I think, you know, I mean, animation and stuff is better, but I think Barth the General tells a better story. Is it better than Bart's Dog Gets an F?
I would say so. Bart's Dog Gets an F it's a very loose episode, and a lot of it is kind of just not funny and not really interesting. So I would say this is fairly interesting. It's just kind of depressing. It's like a, oh God, who makes really depressing movies that make you think?
Really depressing movies that make you think. You'd have to narrow it down a little bit, Matt.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind. But it's like that. It's just...
Darren Aronofsky? I would say it's
better than Bart Dog Gets an F. Yes! There you go.
His movies
are... This is just like that stupid movie about the tree floating through space.
The Fountain is a good movie. I like The Fountain.
I know, but it's depressing as hell.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's still beautiful. Although many people call it the worst movie he made, but I really like it. But regardless, I that's fine with me. I don't know. I just this
movie General was definitely better.
Yeah, I 25. That puts When Flanders Failed at number 25, which I would have called it much higher going in. But I do. Hey, I know some of you guys are watching this as we go, and some of you aren't, and most of you guys probably have seen all these episodes many times over. rewatch When Flanders Failed when you get a chance, and let us know what you think about it. I don't know. It just hit me like I've been a little down this week, and that might have a little bit of an influence on it, but it certainly, I don't know. It just seems mean-spirited. So please let us know if you think it's better than that. But I don't know. This is our list at the end of the day. But I would like to hear your, especially in this one, when it feels weird to be putting it this low, but it just didn't. I don't know. Just wasn't there.
Really, wasn't. It's sad. But I think our next episode's probably going to be a little better.
Yeah. What's next, Matt?
Next up is Bart the Murderer.
Bart the Murderer. That is a solid one. I can't imagine that one being this low. Yeah, you can find this list on our website, simpsonsshow.com. Simple. You can find links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed, new episodes, streaming and downloadable, all that good stuff. You can donate to the show, contact us, you know, all that good stuff. Before we go, let's see. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cheryl. It's MixmasterCereal. You can find my, let's see, blah, blah, blah. You can check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. Matt does not participate in social media, so do not attempt to find him.
No, but I do see a lot of random animals, especially in the neighborhood. So if you see a stray cat or dog in Orlando, feel free to shave a short message into their fur, and I will probably find it eventually.
Every time you do, every one you say these, Matt, it just seems very impractical to be delivering you messages.
Well, I mean, they could always email the show and I could get the message through you, or I do follow our Simpsons Show Pod on Twitter. So, you know, you can always send a message there if you really want to. But if you're really committed, you'd go the extra mile.
You did get a Morse code message on our Facebook wall. One of our fans, Brian, has sent you a secret message. I might have taken a look at it and translated it with the internet, but I am the person who runs it, so I'm privy to everything.
That's true. You guys can't, no secret messages. That's the one thing. If you post any of those things, Robbie will see. If you want to send a secret message just to me, you have to use my special methods.
There you go. I think with that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.